Kate O'Toole with you. It's 17 minutes to 10 on 105.7 ABC Darwin. The internet is full, sort of. There are no more IP addresses left. Basically, there were a finite number of addresses to be had, 4 billion of them. That's billion of them, to be precise. And they've all been allocated by the Internet Corporation for assigned numbers and names. There's simply none left for them to dole out. So what happens now? Stilgherrian is a freelance writer and commentator on internet-related issues. Welcome to Mornings Across the Top End.
Good morning, Kate.
I guess the first thing for us to clear up is, what's an IP address anyway?
Well, the easiest way to explain that, I think, is that in the same way that your phone has a telephone number, your street has a street address, and that's how we know how to get messages to you, the same on the internet, that all of the computers are connected to each other. So if I'm sending some data to you, where am I sending it? I need some unique way of identifying your computer or your phone or whatever it is. So that's all the IP address is, Internet Protocol Address it stands for. And it's a string of numbers. People see them. They like numbers that are separated by dots. So they're 203.15.21.45 or something like that.
That's part of the world of internet that we mostly just ignore. See a string of numbers like that, and you're like, I'm not sure what that is, I'm just going to ignore it.
Exactly, and that's why we have domain names like abc.net.au, so that we don't have to fiddle around with the numbers.
Yeah, so you don't have to send it to 20.15.30. Fair enough. So what will happen now?
Time we did have to do that. Well, what happens now? I think the internet was fun while it lasted, but turn it off, do something else, go to the pub.
Hit the kill switch. That's it.
Oh, don't get me started on that. just like when you run out of phone numbers, you add more digits, effectively. Mm-hmm. So people will remember way back, if someone's an old bloke or Sheila, they'll remember back to, three-digit, four-digit, five-digit phone numbers.
And we're up to same with license plates, right?
Same with car license plates, yep. When they start running out, you just think of a new way of doing it. They used to be all numbers, and then they started mixing letters in with the numbers because that gives you more combinations. There's only 10 digits, but there's 26 letters, and so on. So essentially, we're coming up with a new system that will use a much longer string of numbers under the hood. So at the moment, you said, yep, there's about 4 billion possibilities. And that's using Internet Protocol version 4, IPv4. That's the current technical standard. The new one is IPv6, version 6 of the technical standard, and it uses, look, I won't go into the maths of it, but it's basically so many, there'll be more internet addresses than there are atoms in the universe or something like that, so we won't be running out.
How did we run out of 4 billion IP addresses in the first place?
Well, there's currently 2 billion people on the internet. And, you think, hang on, that still leaves another 2 billion.
Which is a lot.
which is a lot. Except there's two problems with that. One is that you can end up having more than one IP address per person. And if you're sitting there with both a laptop and a mobile phone, that's two that you're using, not one. The other thing is that they were originally assigned in big blocks of numbers. So a big company like IBM or a big organization like the US government would carve out a huge block of numbers and reserve it for itself. And then that would mean those numbers are no longer available. So they've over the years tried to work out more flexible ways of allocating them, and that's what's extended it to now, and that's why we're only running out now. So there were bureaucratic inefficiencies, I think, is the best way of explaining that.
Will people notice the switch over to this longer and more complicated system of IP addresses?
Well, they'll notice it because they're going to have to do something about it. Every single person and every single business that connects to the internet, so that's you, me, pretty much everyone, will have to change the way they connect. Now, that sounds a bit scary. You don't have to understand it. And essentially, internet service providers are the people who are going to get in touch because that's who's responsible for connecting you to the internet. So what will happen is that at some point in the next year or so, everybody is going to be contacted by their internet service provider, and there'll presumably be an explanation for what they have to do. Now, chances are that they might have equipment already, the device that connects you to the internet, if it's been installed in the last couple of years, it's probably capable of running this new IPv6 already. It just needs to be set up to do so. So your ISP will be in touch to explain how to do that. Or if they're the ones that supply you with that box, when it comes up to contract renewal time, well, they'll just have a process of doing that. One internet service provider, Internode in Adelaide, has already rolled this out and people are starting to use it. And as I say, it's all there, but everyone will need to do something at some stage.
But as this happens, just to use your analogy before, the 7-digit phone numbers will still be able to talk to the 8-digit phone numbers?
If things are set up properly.
Okay. And I did like what you said before about this being the internet and therefore you don't have to understand it, but you do have to do something, which is my favourite thing about the internet.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like, okay, here's the thing. If you make your change on your device at your end, and assuming, you know, I'll start that another way. The internet is just everyone connecting together, but you're responsible for your own bit, and everyone else is responsible for their bit. So as long as you get your bits right, you kind of hope and pray that everyone else gets their bit right, but there's nothing you can do about it if they don't.
Is there anything different about this operating system that you've described as IP version 6 to IP version 4, or just the additional lot of numbers and letters and signifiers?
No, there's a lot more features built into it that allow for better security, and also some might flip that around and say a better invasion of your privacy. Before, what is possible is that, well, two things. One is that encrypting the link, encoding it so that it's a secure link, say between, you know, your computer and the bank when you're doing your internet banking, that encryption will be built in at a much more fundamental level of your connection, so it will be more trustworthy and more difficult to intercept. So that's good. You won't notice that. It's just that all of the guys who care about those things will be really happy with the increased security. The other one is that at the moment, generally, unless you set things up, the IP address you have, that numerical address you have, can change each time you connect to the internet. What IP version 6 allows is for you to permanently associate that internet address with a specific device, your laptop, your phone, etc. Now, the analogy.
So that makes it even more like a phone number, for example.
Makes it especially like a mobile phone number, because you can take your mobile phone to another country. Wherever you are in the world, people still phone that phone number and it will still reach you. At the moment, it's a bit like if you take your laptop from Darwin to Perth for the weekend, it'll end up with a different IP address while it's in Perth. In the new system, it can keep that same IP address no matter where you are. And although that won't make any new things, well, it'll kind of make some new things possible. What it means is, when you're going back to that internet banking, it means you are not only sure that you're connecting to the bank's computer, because that's on a fixed known address that can be verified, the bank also knows that it's your computer at the other end and your account, and can verify that that's your computer as well, and therefore that makes that a little bit more secure.
They just don't know that you're the one who's sitting behind the computer tapping on the keys.
Yes. Well, that's the human factor, and in anything to do with security, that's always the problem. That the devices can be as secure as you like, but it then comes down to that human factor. Has that computer been stolen?
Now, the man that you're listening to who knows all about internet-y type things is Stilgherrian, and he's been talking about the consequences of the internet being full. As in, no more IP addresses left. It is okay. We've established that. There's been a lot of other news this week about the internet, Stilgherrian, and talk about switching off the internet in various places. Egypt switched off its internet, more or less, and the US has been talking about a kill switch as well. Why do countries want to be able to switch off their internet, and should we be concerned about that?
Well, the reasons they might want to do it are many and varied, but the main one is to stop the flow of information in times of trouble. Now, whether that's censorship of things that, you know, you don't want people to see, and that's done on a case-by-case basis. But in the case of what's happened in Egypt, where they just say, nah, we want to turn the internet off completely so that people can't organise themselves and take part in the protests and so on. Those people who talk a lot about the human right of being able to freely communicate think that the idea of turning off the internet is, or at least in one country, or disconnecting a country from the world, is, well, in breach of that human right. But in the United States, they say it's all about preventing communication in the case of a severe incident, like a terrorist attack or something. You might suddenly want to shut things down if there was major civil unrest.
Right. But if the US were to switch its internet off, that would affect more than just the US, right?
Well, potentially so, because it's still something like, I don't know, the figure is always up around the 70 or 80%. I wouldn't like to put an exact number on it, but the majority of internet traffic still goes through the United States in some way, shape or form. You know, an internet connection, say, from Australia to the UK is likely to travel via the United States. Certainly if it's from Australia to South America, it really does have to go through the United States, generally speaking. So if they decide to turn off everything, well, yes, that would disrupt that. But it's also possible to turn off sections, because there's no kill switch as such. There's no magic red button labelled internet.
Are you sure? Because I would like there to be one of those.
In your house, so you can turn off your internet, as it were. It comes back to that thing of the internet is really a lot of different networks connected together so that you can pass information from one network to the next. So, for example, when we send information off to South America, we send it first to the United States and then leave it up to them to decide what to do with it and how to get it to South America. That's just how the internet works. What makes it so flexible? So what you can do is say, well, here in the United States, we won't pass on any traffic that's bound for Argentina for whatever reason, but we'll let everything else pass through.
Still, you've just filled my head up with the ones and zeros of the internet world. I don't think I can cope with any more. My brain will explode.
But we can scratch the surface.
I know. The internet. It is a mysterious beast. But thank you so much for letting us know that we shouldn't panic about there being no more IP addresses left.
No, that's right. You'll need to do something, but it'll be pretty straightforward.
Stilgherrian is a freelance writer and commentator on internet-y things, and he's just been speaking to you on The Morning Show.